The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Kyle, Texas is located in Hays County, about 21 miles southwest of downtown Austin. Established in 1880, Kyle remained a scantily populated small town for most of its existence. The International Great Northern Railroad drove Kyle's means to stay afloat economically, providing distribution for local ranching and agriculture. The town's history is quaint and mostly uneventful, but at least a couple facts make Kyle quite unique. In the late 1930s, the granddaughter of the town's namesake, Mary Kyle Hartson, was elected mayor, and by the early 40s, she'd stocked the local city management positions with women, making Kyle the only Texas city or town at that point with an all-woman government. Certainly an important imprint on Texas history. Though said to have been created in the 1930s by West Texas ranch workers, Juan Antonio Falcone is thought to have sold the very first fajita in the Lone Star State, or anywhere else, in Kyle in 1969. Undoubtedly considered a vital creation to most every Texan. By the late 90s, Austin's population was expanding, and with it, the suburban boundaries. The year 2000 began an incredible transformation in Kyle, as well as the surrounding areas. The small town was becoming a suburb of the capital city, and by 2015, Kyle's population was up over 500% over what it had been at the turn of the 21st century, reaching about 32,000 residents. With any population boom, particularly those that are as abrupt as what Kyle was seeing, crime usually rises as well. And it did in Kyle, but the overall crime rate teetered on the low end of the national average. Violent crime, however, didn't go up much and remained well below most other cities in the U.S. In 2015, in fact, Kyle Police Chief Jeff Barnett commented that his department has rarely dealt with murder, and it was rarer still that a homicide didn't lead to a quick arrest. During Barnett's tenure as police chief, which began in 2011, the department had only seen two murders within Kyle's city limits by 2015, but that year, Kyle Police would see two more, when Jimmy Wright and Tina Combs were found shot to death in his home. James Allen Wright, known to most as Jimmy, was born in Indiana on January 24, 1970. Jimmy was the youngest of four children born to Charles and Carrie Lynn Wright, and he grew up in Indiana, where he lived until he moved to Austin, Texas in 2002. Once in Austin, Jimmy bounced around from city to suburb and worked as a self-employed general construction contractor in the area. Even after leaving his home state, he didn't switch his allegiance and remained a diehard Indianapolis Colts fan. He did well for himself. Jimmy was well liked by virtually everyone he came in contact with. Friends called him extremely affable and generous, always willing to sacrifice so that others would want for nothing. An Indiana friend said no matter the time of night, you could call Jimmy for help, and he'd refuse a favor in return. Presumably speaking of an actual experience, the Indiana friend said that Jimmy would pick up your wife when her car broke down at 2 a.m., when he had to be up at 5, drive her 25 miles home, call a tow truck to bring the vehicle to his house so he could fix it, and refuse to accept payment for his deed. Another longtime friend and colleague of Jimmy commented on his good nature, saying, quote, "He's one of those guys, some oddball he'd meet at a bar would be like, 'Oh, I don't have a place to stay,' and he'd tell them that he's got a spare bedroom. Not just figuratively, but literally, He'd give you the shirt off of his back. Jimmy finally settled in Kyle, Texas, after moving to the greater Austin area 12 years earlier. He often played host to friends at his three-bedroom Sledge Street home, and because of his gregarious nature, he had plenty of friends. When he wasn't hosting a get-together, running his business, helping folks out, or closing out a bar somewhere, you'd likely find Jimmy riding his Harley or golfing. By June 2015, Jimmy Wright had a lot going for him. The thing that stood out, particularly, was a burgeoning friendship, and perhaps romance, with a fellow Indiana native named Tina. Tina Renee Combs, daughter of Donald and Linda Combs, was born on May 16, 1971. Like Jimmy Wright, Tina was born and raised in Indiana. Tina, according to her family and friends, was truly one of a kind. She was as friendly as folks get, intelligent and a creative individual. Her children commented on her uniqueness, saying that not only could she infect an entire room with warmth and happiness with simply her smile, laugh, and goofy personality, she could do virtually anything else you could think of. Tina was an incomparable cook who could just as easily turn around and change the oil in your car. She'd maintain all the handiwork around the house and plant, quote, a magnificent garden. Tina kept exotic pets and handmade decor for her home. At 18 years old, in 1990, Tina married her first husband, Randy, with whom she'd had a child. A few years later, Tina gave birth to their second child, and a couple years after that, they had a third, followed not long after by a fourth. Though they were quite happy for a time, with a big house and family, Tina and Randy split up in 2002. Tina had been working at Delphi Automotive in Anderson, Indiana, where she met and began a relationship with a coworker, Jeremy. The divorce between her and Randy was tough, and with kids involved, it often got ugly, but they made up and became close friends and good co-parents. Randy said that Tina was a hell of a mother who paid close and special attention to her children. She was awesome, he said. In 2004, Delphi Automotive was no longer a subsidiary of General Motors, and that year, Tina transferred to General Motors in Arlington, Texas, with much prodding from her coworker and lover, Jeremy. She took her and Randy's four children with her and moved into a home in Mansfield. Though Tina and Jeremy had a son together not long after and planned to marry, the couple split up without ever tying the knot. Tina bounced around between Burleson and Fort Worth, striking up a new romance with a man named Ryan Kidd, who she had another child with. She quit General Motors and gave birth to another child, her seventh. Though Tina and Ryan Kidd were married in 2013, this relationship also was not to be, particularly after Kidd took the children and headed back to Texas during vacation in Indiana in January of 2014, leaving Tina stranded in a motel there. They rekindled the doomed marriage briefly, but by summer that year, it was over. Tina filed for divorce and moved in with a man named Eric Spaulding in Arlington, who she met in November of 2014. Her divorce from Kidd was finalized in May of 2015. Though they split custody evenly with the children they had together, Tina sought to obtain full custody through Child Protective Services because she did not deem the man capable of providing proper care for them. Tina Combs, however, never had the chance to file for sole custody. There's a world of entertainment options out there. By that, I mean there's a lot of compelling international shows that you may be missing out on. So, burst the domestic TV bubble and check out the streaming service, Acorn TV. Acorn TV is commercial-free and is rooted in British television. They've got a slew of compelling mysteries, heartfelt and lighthearted comedies, riveting documentaries, and addicting dramas. They've got new stuff and classics. I'm currently binging Dead Still on Acorn TV, a series about a photographer of the dead who's dragged into a murder investigation and well out of his comfort zone, set in Victorian Ireland. It's a darkly comedic take on a murder mystery. I love it. I'm simultaneously binging the hilarious series Raised by Wolves, too. There are a ton more series and films I've got my eye on Acorn TV when I'm done binging those, including a few that star some of my favorite actors, like Laura Linney, Toby Jones, and Lenny James. Acorn TV is loaded with thousands of hours of binge-worthy television, and new premium content is added every week. Do what I did and break away from the same old, and try Acorn TV. It works on all your devices, Apple, Android, Google Chromecast, and Roku, whatever you already use to stream, for just $5.99 a month. So, escape to Britain and beyond without ever leaving your seat. Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and use my promo code GONECOLD. That's ACORN.TV, code GONECOLD, to get your first 30 days free. Tina Combs met Jimmy Wright through a mutual friend's Facebook post. The two had never met, but Tina's cousin, Christy, just happened to also be a neighbor of Jimmy's growing up. In fact, the two were from the same graduating class. Christy, on a Facebook post in early June 2015, was looking for someone who bred blue heelers, and Tina suggested she look in Texas. Jimmy agreed with Tina on the post, and the two immediately began speaking with each other about their Indiana connections, as well as another favorite topic of Texas transplants, their hatred for Texas drivers. Motorists here are well known for a more offensive than defensive style of driving, for reference, and we have a burning desire to push the speed limit. Anyway, the two began speaking directly. Later that month, a friend of Jimmy's was speaking to him about a motorcycle excursion they, along with the friend's husband, had planned soon. Jimmy was to meet that night with someone he'd been talking to online, he said, and his friend was worried it might affect the planned biking trip. Jimmy assured his friend it would not, telling her that Tina was cool, and he continued to go on about her. It's unclear whether this would be the first time Jimmy and Tina were supposed to meet in person. Some friends of Jimmy's would later report that there was a good chance they'd gotten together for lunch before in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, when Jimmy had to make a trip there to collect a paycheck from a construction company who'd hired him to do some work on an Austin burger joint. Friends of Tina's, on the other hand, said she spoke nothing of a new friend or of having recently struck up Glory Days talks with a fellow Hoosier. The lack of mentioning this new friendship on both Tina and Jimmy's parts wasn't unusual. One friend of 45-year-old Jimmy said, quote, "I wouldn't call it a dark side. He just wasn't so free about everything in his life." Jimmy wasn't necessarily a secret person, he meant. The man just didn't go around telling everyone about his business. He did keep separate groups of friends, too. Jimmy did, however, make three confirmed references to friends about a woman named Tina. Those who knew 44-year-old Tina would suggest something of a private side to the woman, too, adding that she preferred the nightlife and often didn't return home from a night out until 3 or 4 a.m. It's likely that Tina had grown even more secretive as well in the spring and summer of 2015. Since she and Ryan Kidd had divorced, Tina thought that the man had been surveilling her. Texts from Tina, later provided by her daughter, Miranda, showed that the woman feared Kidd was watching her every move, and included pictures of what was thought to be Kidd's new girlfriend's car driving past the house where she was staying, which belonged to her new boyfriend, Eric Spaulding. In June of 2015, Jimmy Wright was renovating a home in Lakeway, Texas, a town just northwest of Austin that sits on Lake Travis. One night while there, about mid-June to the best of his recollection, a friend and colleague said he texted him in San Marcos to tell him he was going to spend the night at the Lakeway House. He'd been on the phone with Tina until late, Jimmy told his friend by text, and the 40-mile drive home was just too much for him to make. On Friday, June 19th, Jimmy told his San Marcos colleague that they might have some help coming in the following Monday. They were laying hardwood floors and needed some extra hands. Jimmy also said that Tina was coming to see him. That changed by Sunday, June 21st, when Tina called and told Jimmy she was going to have to delay the trip, presumably due to Ryan Kidd's perceived stalking her. Jimmy understood, and that evening visited a couple bars, the Dark Horse Tavern and Down South Rail House in Kyle, and down in San Marcos, about 10 miles away, at about 2 a.m., he visited a bartender from the Dark Horse, presumably at his home. He made his way back to his house in Kyle, and despite the late night, was up at 6 a.m. on Monday, June 22, 2015. Turns out Tina was coming down to meet him at a restaurant, Casa Maria, just off Interstate 35 in Kyle, at 8 a.m. Jimmy arrived on time at the restaurant, and Tina arrived around 8 minutes late. As they ate and talked, they took selfies together and sent them to a friend of Jimmy's, who, presumably, wanted to see who his friend had the hots for. Jimmy paid the check, and he and Tina headed to his house. After that, at just a few minutes to noon, Miranda, Tina's daughter, called and spoke with Tina briefly, but her mother told her she couldn't talk at that moment but would call her back. She never did, which was highly unusual, Miranda said. It was unusual still that Tina left Arlington, or the surrounding area, she'd later comment. When Miranda called her mother back, the phone was off. Since the workers who were set to help lay the hardwood floors at the Lakewood renovation hadn't shown up, Jimmy told a subcontractor working with him earlier that morning that he wasn't coming in and that he'd call around lunchtime to let him know what was happening. Jimmy never called. The man's family, too, who had tried to reach him by phone during that day, said their calls went unanswered and without return. Completely out of character for Jimmy. Jimmy's subcontractor and friend called him several times the afternoon of Monday, June 22nd, but got no answer. He tried calling the next day, too, but it was the same thing. On Wednesday, June 24th, having still heard nothing from Jimmy, his friend and colleague stopped by his house to make sure everything was okay. In the driveway sat Jimmy's red Chevrolet Avalanche and a car the man didn't recognize, a white Mercedes-Benz ML350, which belonged to Tina. There was no answer when he rang the doorbell, and the man thought it unusual that the front and back doors were locked, as well as the house entry from the garage, since Jimmy always kept his house open. The fact that the curtains in every window were drawn was beyond suspicious to him. A hidden key Jimmy kept outside was also missing, and the business checkbook was out in the open on the dash of Jimmy's truck. The friend knew something wasn't right and called the Kyle Police Department and asked them for a welfare check. When an officer arrived there, a receipt from Jimmy and Tina's breakfast at Casa Maria was found in the front yard. The officer told Jimmy's friend and colleague over the phone that there was again no answer at the house, but said he couldn't enter unless a family member of Jimmy's gave the okay. The following day, police got their permission. By Wednesday night, Jimmy's voicemail box was full. Jimmy's brother and sister, both back in Indiana, had repeatedly called him with no response or return call. The following evening, Thursday, June 25th, Jimmy's father got in touch with the Kyle police. At 8 p.m. that night, police cars and a coroner's van surrounded the home of Jimmy Wright. Neighbors tried to get a glimpse of what was happening but couldn't get close without the cops backing them off, telling them to keep moving. Jimmy's father, Charles, called the Kyle police at 10:30 p.m., then around midnight, but they gave him no update. He and his wife, Carrie Lynn, Jimmy's mother, were too worried to sleep and stayed up waiting for news. At 4:30 a.m., as they anxiously sat in the living room of their home, the lights of a vehicle shone outside. Charles and Carrie Lynn watched as the lights made their way up the drive to the house. A local sheriff's deputy, who they knew, exited the patrol car. Solemnly, the deputy told Charles he needed to call police in Kyle, Texas. He did, and they told him that Jimmy, his son, was dead. Tina Combs' daughter, Miranda, had begun worrying about her mother since she never called back that Monday. On Wednesday that week, she drove to the home of Eric Spaulding, her mother's boyfriend, and left him a note. Miranda asked him to call her as soon as he got off work. Spaulding did call her and told Miranda that her mother and him got into a fight Sunday night. He didn't like Tina bringing her young children to his home, Spaulding said, and after they argued some about that, Tina gathered her things, loaded them in her car, and drove off. That was the last time Spaulding saw her, he said. It was the following night that Kyle police found the terrible and tragic scene at Sledge Street there, where 45-year-old Jimmy Wright was found in the hallway of his home, having died instantly from a gunshot wound to his head. 44-year-old Tina Combs was also shot, found dead in the master bedroom of the home. But it's unclear if that's what killed her, or if it was the multiple stab wounds inflicted upon her. Tina's family found out the next morning, on Friday, June 26th, at about 6 a.m. The deaths of Jimmy Wright and Tina Combs were ruled homicide, of course, and the results of the autopsies were finally released on September 17, 2015. Jimmy had been shot in the head and died instantly, and Tina was shot and stabbed to death. Jimmy Wright was cremated. Having suffered a gunshot wound to the head, there was no viewing. Injuries were also inflicted upon the man post-mortem, but the nature of those remain undisclosed. At Tina Combs's viewing, a scarf around her neck covered some of the knife wounds she suffered. Her daughter Miranda later commented that Tina's hands were swollen and had broken nails. She said that her mother fought for her life. The Kyle Police Department held back most of the details of the crime scene, but family members saw it firsthand after investigators released it. In early August of 2015, Jimmy's parents, brother, and niece made the trip to Kyle, Texas, from Indiana, to go through and take his possessions. They later commented that entire walls had been stripped of the drywall, down to the bare studs. Some flooring was also stripped and taken for evidence. Authorities, Jimmy's family said, deemed everything in his room as hazardous material. Tina had been killed there, and, presumably, the whole room had been splattered with blood. Everything in the room, the family said, was bagged and disposed of. Jimmy's brother told reporters that many of Jimmy's personal items were gone and unaccounted for. His phone and one of six guns he owned among the missing property. Tina's daughter also traveled to Kyle to take possession of her mother's car and various other belongings. When the investigation got underway, immediately following the discoveries of the bodies, of course, police had two persons of interest. Larry Simon, a man who'd been staying with Jimmy, and Ryan Kidd, Tina's ex-husband, who she said was stalking her, were at the top of law enforcement's list. Both men were mentioned on a summary incident report, which police released publicly the August following the murders. As is expected, the Kyle police weren't saying much. They'd asked and received assistance from outside agencies, they told the press, though they refused to say who. Kyle Police Chief Jeff Barnett said in 2016 that they were working the case on an almost daily basis, making progress every day. No neighbors had heard or seen anything that night. In fact, Jimmy's next-door neighbor commented that she only heard a dog repeatedly barking, which perhaps isn't all that unusual. Evidence in the double murder, Chief Barnett said, had been sent multiple times to the Texas Department of Public Safety's crime labs for DNA testing from shortly after it happened until July 2016. The chief told reporters that the case was not cold. He said he stays in contact with Tina and Jimmy's families and fills them in on the stages of the investigation and developments. Mainly, though, Chief Barnett said, to let them know that his department hadn't forgotten the case. In 2017, however, the family vehemently disagreed with that statement. They said the police rarely picked up the phone to let them know what's going on, and in fact, at the time of the comment to reporters in 2017, they said it had been at least a year since they'd heard anything at all. When the family called Kyle Police to check in, they said their calls were never returned. Jimmy's niece vented her frustration, saying she calls the department once a week, but never hears back. Since Jimmy's family all live in Indiana, it was difficult for them to voice their frustrations physically at the police station in Kyle, Texas. But even when friends of Jimmy's went down to the station, they were shuffled off. In 2018, Chief Barnett suggested that his department was finally making some headway. He told the press, however, that he could not speak about any new developments publicly, or even to the family, for fear that it might interfere with the integrity of the investigation and jeopardize a prosecution. If they did have a person of interest in mind, the cops weren't sharing. It's likely the main suspect is one of the two mentioned in the summary of the incident report released the August after the double murder. Larry Simon had been staying at Jimmy Wright's place for weeks. Several facts caused Kyle Police to look at the man with suspicion. For starters, there was no evidence he'd attempted to enter Jimmy's house, where his belongings were, from the Monday Tina and Jimmy were slain to the Thursday when their bodies were found. Simon disconnected his cell phone and deleted his social media accounts after the press sought him out for a comment. Those who knew Simon, folks who were used to seeing the man on at least a semi-regular basis, said that they rarely saw him around Kyle since the double murder. The man, too, had little criminal record before the shooting death of Tina and Jimmy, but very shortly after, he'd be picked up several times, albeit those arrests and convictions were minor compared to homicide. About 4 months after the double murder, on October 18, 2015, Simon was arrested on a DWI and spent 10 days in the Hays County Jail. A month after that, on November 19th, the man was picked up and turned into Travis County authorities, where he was locked up for 15 days in county jail for the theft of some clothing and a couple watches from a JCPenney store there. On January 5th, 2016, Larry Simon was picked up on a warrant back in Kyle, Hays County, charged with assault causing bodily harm. The day the bodies of Tina Combs and Jimmy Wright were found, too, an 18-year-old son of Jimmy's friend and neighbor saw and spoke with Simon outside Jimmy's home. It wasn't long after the bodies were discovered. Simon, leaning on the tailgate of his Ford Ranger, told the 18-year-old that the cops wouldn't let him in to get his stuff and that he didn't know what was going on. It was odd timing, monumentally coincidental, for Simon to just appear out of nowhere to get into the house that day after, police believe, he hadn't been around for several. Folks who know Simon, however, don't think he was involved. One friend of the man's who insisted he remain anonymous told a reporter that he doubted Simon's involvement. The friend went on to defend him, though it really wasn't much of a defense. He said that Simon was, quote, a very powerful individual who was, quote, temperamental. Simon's friend, still in his bizarre defense of the man, went on to say that if Larry Simon would have committed the crime, he'd have beaten and stabbed them and not used a firearm. It wasn't like Simon to use a gun, the friend said. But there was a better suspect than Simon, some of Tina's family thinks, her ex-husband. Much of both Jimmy Wright and Tina Combs' family believes that Tina's ex-husband, Ryan Kidd, was responsible for their murders. Kidd did provide an alibi, which Kyle police said checked out, but there were too many coincidences, the family say, to believe the man innocent. Tina's reluctance to visit Jimmy in Kyle, one friend of hers said, couldn't be ignored. It's thought that her hesitation to do so was the result of Ryan Kidd continually keeping tabs on her. Their divorce was bitter, so bitter, in fact, that Tina's divorce attorney was immediately suspicious of Kidd when she learned of the double murder. She felt so strongly about his potential involvement that she called Kyle police to make sure they looked at the man. He was particularly vindictive during the divorce, Tina's attorney told police, and even fabricated evidence against Tina. Kidd was, the lawyer said, quote, one of the worst people we've ever dealt with. In the weeks leading up to Jimmy and Tina's murders, Tina told her daughter Miranda that Kidd had hacked her iPhone and was tracking her whereabouts through it. There were messages on her phone, Tina told Miranda, that she didn't write. The incident in January 2014, when Ryan Kidd and Tina fought while visiting family in Indiana, which resulted in Kidd packing up the children and driving back to Texas without Tina, was just one event on the minds of family members. Ryan Kidd, too, was avoiding contact with Tina's daughter. Since the double murder, Kidd sold his house in Burleson and moved to Alvarado. The man brought Tina's death certificate to her bank and withdrew the balance. Miranda said Kidd won't allow her to visit her two half-siblings. She said that around Christmas, she saw the siblings ice skating at the mall with Kidd. Miranda ran up, hugged and kissed them, and said that Kidd walked up behind her and told her to get away from the children. The look in his eyes, Miranda said, was one of intense anger, as if he wanted to hurt her. Kidd has been alleged to have mistreated one of the children, prompting Tina to begin seeking sole custody of them, which she is said to have been in the process of just before she was killed. It should be noted, however, that the man has never been brought up on charges pertaining to those allegations. Though Ryan Kidd's alibi was confirmed by police, both families feel that even if the man, who is ex-military, didn't kill Tina and Jimmy himself, they still firmly believe his involvement. They say if he didn't do it, he knows who did. Both suspects named by police, Larry Simon and Ryan Kidd, have never been charged. The possibility of each man's involvement seems plausible, though a potential motive for Simon having committed the double murders is elusive. Since Tina was shot, but also brutally and repeatedly stabbed, she certainly could have been the main target. However, Jimmy also sustained some sort of post-mortem injuries, the nature of which has not been publicly released, suggesting that he was possibly the focus of the murderous rage. Or perhaps they both were. Christy, whose Facebook post is where Tina and Jimmy met and began speaking, believes that the police, quote, screwed it up, and she feels that both families have been treated poorly by the cops. She still carries the guilt of bringing Jimmy and Tina together. Each family of the slaying victims are traumatized by their loved one's murder. Though they are united in the search for justice, they feel that the Kyle police are less than forthcoming, and they wonder if the case is actively being worked at all at this point. Tina's first husband, Randy, suggested that Kyle police are less than adept, or they simply don't care, to solve the case. When Miranda called the police and casually mentioned Ryan Kidd's then-new wife's name, they weren't aware of the woman. When the police chief doesn't know the name of the woman one of your suspects was with after his divorce from someone who's been murdered, that's a problem, Randy, Jimmy's brother, said. If you have information that might help solve the murders of Tina Combs and Jimmy Wright, no matter how insignificant you feel it is, please call the Kyle Police Department at 512-268-3232. You can support Gone Cold at patreon.com/gonecoldpodcast. Donors at all levels there get the show ad-free, and for just $2.50, you'll have access to episodes featuring stories of mostly solved Texas crimes and the bad actors who perpetrated them, such as the Odessa Lust murders, and our latest there, the co-ed killer, among others. Thanks so much to everyone who supports us there. It means the world to us. The Hayes Free Press and the Austin American Statesman were used as sources for this episode. Thanks for listening, y'all.